we're in Genesis.
Chapter 30. The things Joe said
in the podcast. We're in Genesis chapter 30, and what we're going to learn this morning is that there's going to be a bunch of children that are being born, and there's rivalry really between Rachel and remember the other lady's name, Leah.
Yeah, Leah.
The one who had weak eyes.
Leah.
Poor Leah. Poor Leah. Always remembered as the weak-eyed one.
Princess Leah.
Yeah. So, remember at the end of last week, at the end of chapter 29, Leah begins to have children, and she has, I believe it's three children. But at the end of chapter 29, she has Reuben, right?
Simeon, Levi,
those three, and those three, she says what? Maybe now Jacob will love me.
Right.
Maybe now Jacob will love me. Maybe now Jacob will love me. Then she has her fourth son. She names him Judah and says, this time I'll praise the Lord.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting because this time I'll praise the Lord. Judah is the line, the familial line that Jesus Christ comes from. And it's the one where she gives the praise to the Lord as opposed to the hope that Jacob will love her. It's also interesting that Leah, the unloved one, is the one that Christ is in the direct genealogy of Christ. So it's just kind of interesting there.
Did y'all discuss 31 that she was hated?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was...
That's hard.
Yeah. That is hard. She was hated and unloved, right, from Jacob.
Yeah.
There, you know, and part of that is probably Laban's fault for the old switcheroo, right?
Yeah, sure.
Created some bitterness there on Jacob's part because Laban does the old switcheroo, and so now that's probably part of the hated part. So she's had now how many children? Four children. And we get into verse 30 or chapter 30 from there. So I'm going to read the first few verses in chapter 30. Any thoughts before we get into 30?
30's very eventful.
There's lots of kids happening. All right, so when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Because it's his fault, of course. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God?
Nice.
Who has withheld from you fruit of the womb, not fruit of the loom?"
Did he say, "I'm doing my part"?
Then she said, "Here is my servant, Bilhah, go into her, so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged me."
A lot of arm twisting.
Then Rachel was satisfied and happy because it worked out the way she wanted.
Everybody lived happily. No, then Rachel said, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. So, does this story sound familiar?
Yes, extremely familiar. But apparently Jacob had to go back twice.
He did. It's a little bit different.
And when there's multiple wells here, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There will be.
Yeah, there's more wells.
So, what does it sound familiar? What's the other story?
Sarah and Hagar.
Yep. Right? So, Sarah can't have children. She's barren.
Yeah.
Rachel is called barren here, and Sarah, remember, the big difference is Sarah might be trying to to prompt God's blessings in that. I'm not, you know, she obviously wanted children, needed to have children.
She's trying to help out.
She's trying to help out there. Rachel seems to be doing this out of rivalry, right? It says in verse 1, she envied her sister.
Competition.
It's competition.
Kids. Why does she have so many kids? She can't even see them.
Right.
Old lazy
eye. She envies her sister.
Ivan's laughing.
And who's the first person she blames?
Her husband.
Yeah. Isn't that how that is? She says to Jacob, "Give me children, or I shall die." That kind of gives you the extent of
her frustration
yeah. and her envy. She feels
and
like if you don't, can you imagine what that conversation would have been like?
The views of the teacher are not,
do
not represent.
Oh, do we need a disclaimer? I said that's how it is. I didn't mean that's how women are. I didn't say that. I said that's okay. Just how life is. We always have to find someone to blame for things that are happening with us.
Well, there's never an accident.
It's always someone's fault, right? It's always somebody's fault. There's always someone to blame.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I'm answering an internal investigation, an internal affairs investigation on an accident, on something that happens. We lost something. No one did it intentionally.
Right.
But
somebody's got to pay.
Someone's got to pay. Someone's got to.
Point a special prosecutor.
To be, yeah, exactly. There has to
accountable.
Be a cause.
Yeah.
Accountability. And we're like, really?
So this Jacob and Rachel, you know, when you look at it from the outside at the very beginning, it's a really neat love story. Remember when we went back, Jacob worked for 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Remember that?
Yeah.
Chapter 29, verse 20.
And she said, "It's on you."
And now she says, "It's your fault that I can't have kids," essentially. And what's the very next thing? Jacob's anger was kindled against the woman he worked 7 years for.
Yeah.
And it seemed like one day.
Didn't he say, "I'm okay with this girl over here"?
Yeah.
I would have said no.
We talked about
we
talked about how strong that love is, and it changes your perspective and your passions. And yet, here we are, because they can't have children, it's causing a rift between them. Now, if you think about this really deeply, if the enemy is involved here at all. The enemy knows that there's going to be offspring from Eve that's going to cause him harm, right? And maybe that this family line is being blessed by God. I wonder if at all there's some of that. Some of that rift isn't just these people, but it's just the nagging of the enemy saying, "You can't have kids.
Yeah.
You're not as good as your sister,"
right?
And then her feeling that envy, that sin that's just a welling up in her covetousness. We haven't got to the Ten Commandments, right? But here's that feeling of someone has it better than me. And I don't like the position I am, and there's someone else to blame for that, right? So she blames Jacob. And then Jacob, it says in verse 2, his anger was kindled against Rachel. We don't use that kind of terminology anymore. His anger was kindled against him.
It's good though. I mean, it's not my
Bible. What is your translation?
Jacob became angry.
I like Kindle.
I do too.
Yeah, Jacob became angry. That's just
poetic.
It became angry as garden variety anger, right?
Right.
But his anger was kindled against her. That's like that's next level anger.
Well, then it bursts into flames.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a.
That's next next level.
And he says,
"Am
I in God's place?"
You went to the marriage bed and you couldn't tell that wasn't me?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I wonder how that
may still be.
Wonder how
lingering.
That worked out.
That may be lingering. I mean, really?
You yeah.
No? And then the animosity toward Leah, you know. So
when she kindles his anger, when his anger is kindled, he says, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you fruit of the womb?" I can't say that without thinking of fruit of the loom. He has withheld from you fruit of the womb. So Jacob also actually finds someone to blame. Doesn't Jacob also find someone to blame?
That's true.
It's God's fault.
Yeah.
not my fault. It kind of reminds me of Adam and Eve when God says, why did you eat of that fruit? And he says, Adam says, the woman you gave me. Right? Right? So here Jacob is saying, am I in the place of God? He's the one who's keeping you without children. So of course
it's just true.
It is true. It is true.
Yeah,
he's, well, let me read the ESV study note.
Jacob, not the problem.
Right.
Of course, the ESV study note, it has kind of, this is the Christian thing that he should have done. It says, while recognizing God's role in the situation, however, Jacob does not pray for Rachel, as his father Isaac had done for Rebekah. Yeah. Instead, he participates in the next scheme. It starts in verse 3. And we've already said before that there's problems with, if you want to call it polygamy or what have you, but there are issues that arise from multiple wives and multiple, not baby daddies, what would this be, baby mamas, right? There's rivalry that happens, there's hatred, we've already seen that. There's envy, there's anger, fighting. You're going to see this throughout. And so there's hostility that occurs because of the decisions that they're making right here. These decisions are going to create some major hostility. So verse 3, it's Bilhah, and this is Rachel's maid, and there are two children born of her. That's Dan and Naphtali. Dan and Naphtali. Dan means judge, and Naphtali means wrestle. And so the first one is that Rachel said that God had judged me and he's heard my voice. So the first son that's born of her servant named Dan means judge.
Mine says vindicated.
Vindicated?
Yep.
Or his judge.
What about Naphtali?
Struggle. My wrestle.
So, interesting stuff happening here.
You know, my Bible also has a note about how even though, you know, they keep giving the maidservants to Jacob, that even though that was like culturally acceptable,
yeah,
that maybe that wasn't the best decision on his part to say, okay, well.
No, right, absolutely. Well, we just read in the ESV study notice,
I mean, on the surface,
pray for her that her womb would open, just stick with the woman you love, right, instead of going in this direction.
Well, everybody else is doing it.
Now, we're judging Jacob on that, but at the same time, you know, we don't know. Rachel could have been like, on him to, this is what you've got to do to make it right.
Shrewd,
we have no idea.
She was wearing him out.
it kind of sounds like that.
Happy now?
It sounds like that might be possible.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Right.
It's like, you can only handle one wife. I can't imagine two.
Yeah.
Not unless a maid is
one too. I learned that in first grade. Jeez. Shelley Brown and Marnie Galley.
You said two girlfriends?
So let's take a look at verse 9.
Yep.
Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she takes the clue from her sister, and she takes her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. So just named them after...
Good fortune.
Yeah.
Is she in taunting her sister?
There are definitely some rivalry going on here.
It's a crazy one-upmanship game, isn't it?
I know it.
Yeah.
My servant.
I mean,
had one.
Poor guy. Poor Jacob.
Poor Jacob. Leah's servant.
Poor Jacob.
He said, lucky Jacob. He said, lucky Jacob, and I gave him a look, and then he said, poor Jacob.
I'm being facetious.
So verse 12, Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she called his name Asher.
I'm happy that the women
Yeah.
No, I just heard this 2 days ago. Yeah.
What's that? Say again.
I know a kid named Asher.
You know a kid named Asher. So happy am I.
Happy.
Is what that is. This is really interesting in verse 14. So you see the one-upmanship, you see the envy. This multiple wives thing is not going to end. I mean, it's not going well for the family. In the meantime, all of these children are being born. And here's the other piece to that. When it comes to family planning and kind of just being ready for these types of things, these kids aren't necessarily being born out of love, right?
No.
These kids are being born out of rivalry and envy and competition. It does look like a baby war.
Fertility Olympics.
And so you wonder.
Yes.
And so you wonder, you know, we know the story of all of these tribes of Israel. Is what's being born here, the tribes of Israel. This is what's being born here. And we know that there are going to be issues going forward. And so it's kind of interesting. Look at verse 14. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a smaller matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." Like, she's given permission now.
She's trading it for plants?
For fruit. Or what? I think it's fruit. Right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes."
I think it's a prostitute.
Yeah. So he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar.
Wow.
This is crazy.
Mandrake roots are hallucinogenic and narcotic. You have to sleep with me tonight.
Yeah.
You got to deal with your sister. You have to sleep with me.
And you said prostitution, and my commentary says this is virtual prostitution.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So this is the first.
Apparently, mandrakes are still used today as a, not as collateral. Well, I don't know about that part, but I'm not sure about an aphrodisiac, but to be able to bear children, people believe that. It's a fertility drug, right? There you go. It's a fertility drug. And you read that it's a hallucinogenic.
So that's why she wants the mandrakes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's why they want. Well, yes, that is.
I mean,
why.
That could be why.
No, that's probably.
Rachel says
that's probably why.
Give me some mandrakes so I can.
Yep.
Have a child.
Right. Now keep in mind.
She's against her.
She gives it to Leah. Yeah, and Leah. Yeah, it worked the opposite way. Keep in mind that Rachel has not yet born a son.
Right.
So now all of these, I think I've lost count with how many kids are being born at this point. There's actually daughters spread in there too somewhere.
4, 5, 6.
Yeah, so that was, this is a car.
We're at 8 so far.
We're at 8 children so far, and no children yet from Rachel.
This is a car was the 5th from Leah. Right. Bilhah had 2, and Zilpah had 1. So this is
Zilpah had 2, Gad and Asher.
Gad and Asher.
Yep.
Bilhah had 2 also, right?
Dan 8. And Naphtali, Gad and Asher.
So we're at 9.
I got a tree here. 1, 2, 3.
We have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, and now Issachar. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
he's just born.
Nine.
So we're at 9. We're at 9 kids so far. Let's keep reading. Let's see if there's any more. Verse 19.
This isn't enough kids.
Yeah, verse 19. And Leah conceived again, and she bore, here we go, a 6th son. Well, that's interesting. Oh, she these bore, are 6 from her.
Right.
Right. And this is going to be Zebulun.
There's 10 on the board, 6 from Leah, 6 and 2 from each of the maids.
Yes. There's 10 on the board.
Yeah. Here.
Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him 6 sons." No, he probably won't. So she called his name Zebulun.
So,
So we thought she learned her lesson.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
More, there's more.
I mean, so this is what I like.
But wait.
Oh, God's blessed me now. Now I've been blessed. Like, how many times does God have to bless you to convince you that...
Right.
Right?
Well, and here's this is something that I think is really interesting. So far, Jacob's just producing boys. Isn't that interesting? How many? 10 boys. 10 boys.
Scientifically,
it comes from the female.
The more boys you have, the chances of having a girl exponentially increase.
Really?
Increase with different mothers. I mean, that was my case. I have 3 older boys, and the girl was kind of a
surprise.
A blessing from God. Yeah.
Wow.
Because the chances of me having a girl who kind of...
So the more boys you have, the more boys you have, is what you're saying.
What about, does it work the opposite way?
In my family, yeah. It's my
I don't think so.
It doesn't work the opposite way.
That's what my dad
What?
No, no, no. But I mean,
if you have boys?
Yeah. Look into it. There is, I don't know the reasons.
Yeah. We have boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, boy.
My dad had 3 girls and
so you're a man's man. So up to this point, there are 10 on the board, right? Joe, are you still keeping track? There are 10 on the board? All boys? And now verse 21. And this is kind of funny. This is kind of like an afterthought. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. But it doesn't say, now he'll bless me because I had a daughter. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even tell us why she named her Dinah.
I don't really care.
Dinah.
Which means.
You know we're recording.
Old singing song.
I'm just saying, it's not me, it's them, right? They're the ones that are saying this. So Dinah is now born. So now there are 11 children on the board.
What verse are we on?
We're now going to be to verse 22. Okay, okay. Then God remembered Rachel.
Yeah.
And God listened to her. And opened her womb. It wasn't the mandrakes. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. Now, I find it very interesting that Joseph ends up being a good one. Right? He's a keeper. Right? And earlier, Judah was the one who was born and praised the Lord. Joseph is born, and I think, you know, there's a praise the Lord. The Lord has taken away my reproach. The other children, there's an acknowledgement of the Lord, right? The other children, there's somewhat of an acknowledgement. God has endowed me with good endowment. There are words that they say, but here it said that God listened to her. So it actually says in verse 17,
God has rewarded me.
God listened to Leah in verse 17. Did y'all read that?
Mm-hmm.
God listened to Leah in verse 17, and in verse 22, God listened to Rachel. And to me, when it says for in both cases with Leah and Rachel that God listened to them, that there may have been a subsequent prayer involved there. There may have been a Lord help me to have another child, right? And so he's listening to their anguish, their frustration, their prayer. He's aware, and it said that he listened to her. Remember, in verse 17, Leah had ceased bearing children and being able to have children, and she obviously wished to have more. In 17 to 21, God grants Leah's wish. He enables her to have 2 more sons and a daughter. And so she has Issachar and Zebulun. Go ahead.
But Rachel... I mean, Leah,
uh-huh.
Back in 29:32, when Reuben is born,
yep.
She says, it's because of the Lord, right?
Right.
So, they're still giving God credit for all this stuff,
but it's
false credit, and it's an assumption, I guess, right? Is there an assumption that, God gave this to me, so I've been blessed?
You know what I think? on that along that same line, I think there is a God has blessed me, but I think what both of them have is a lack of humility within that blessing. So they get the blessing, but part of that is Leah's, I'm blessed,
I'm more blessed than you
are. I'm more blessed than you are, and then the rivalry starts to happen.
Therefore, I'm going to name my son.
Children are a blessing, no matter what. In all cases, in this, children are a blessing, and they say children are a blessing. What I think you have is because we keep seeing the rivalry, and it's she has, and now I need. They get blessed, and there's a lack of humility. Thank you, I've been blessed. And a real sisterhood would be, I hope you have children too, right? I hope you could be blessed as I'm blessed. But it's not that at all. It's covetousness, it's envy, it's rivalry, and it's I'm blessed, and I believe there's an underlying, and you're not.
So let's go to the prosperity gospel, right? Which is what that is, right? I'm blessed. Oh, well, God has blessed me.
God has blessed me.
Above
that whole idea that God has blessed me, I'm special.
Right.
Fuels a lack of humility within that blessing.
And causes problems.
Am I right? And causes problems. And I think that's what's happening.
Our denomination is blessed. Or whatever is blessed. I'm going down a Dennis Road.
I think the track that you can take through this,
I'm just saying,
that's consistent, is the consistent thread here is God does continue to bless. Despite the craziness of the family, and it says in two cases that God hears them. If you just read this and you would say, was Rachel and Leah, were they sinful in their actions because of the covetousness and the envy and the strife? We would say probably yes, but it's within that that God still hears their cry and he blesses them. I mean, I find that amazing.
I was thinking being a little bit different in terms of prosperity, any material goods, even children, they're not ours. God has blessed us with that, and that is something that we need to take care of. But they're not ours.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of that missing there. That I think it's back to your humility comment.
Yeah.
To me, that's probably the one that struck me the most.
Yeah. When Rachel says that he has taken away my reproach, the ESV study note says that since throughout Genesis, fertility is often associated with divine blessing, a woman's inability to bear a child could be interpreted as reflecting divine disapproval. And so given the resentment that existed between the sisters, Leah may well have taunted Rachel over her inability to bear children. And as with all other sons born to Jacob, Joseph's name is derived from a remark made by his mother. In Hebrew, Joseph sounds like the verb add to for the sad answer to her prayer. That was a different sense. Joseph sounds like the verb add to. He added to me another son.
So if we say God has blessed us because we are better, we're asking for trouble.
It's not good.
What did you say? If we say that God has blessed me because I am better, you're asking for trouble.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about you. It's really about God.
I think a lot of people say that. I think a lot of people say that.
What's that?
What if you say God has blessed me because I'm the center of God's will?
I still couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. God has blessed me
because I'm in the center of God's will.
Because I'm in the center of God's will. That would be...
I think you can say God has blessed me.
Period.
Period.
I think when you start to say because when you run into problems.
When you make it trying to guess why God has blessed
me. I think we have to say that despite us. God has blessed us. Blessed
period.
Despite of what we think.
That's a particularly...
dangerous...
America.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is what?
You can get into a
God
whole...
God blessed this nation because we're a Christian nation.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we're better.
The past of the United States, and there is so much...
ungodliness.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just...
However...
from the pilgrims getting here and killing the Americans off...
However, I would say that... God does bless nations because of the remnant of Christians that are in those nations. I think that can happen. He does it in spite of, right? In spite of who you really are. Yeah, and there's... And we see it here, kind of in spite of Leah and Rachel and their rivalry, in spite of that, he is blessing them. And remember...
He's living a promise that he made.
You know what their rivalry is also doing? They're having all these kids. Unwittingly, they're fulfilling God's promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because what was his promise? You're going to have lots of kids. Right. You're going to be a mighty nation.
That's a good thing, but you're going to have lots of them.
Yeah. So the fact that they're having all these kids and they're one-upping each other, it fits right in line with God's promise of a mighty nation, right? Doesn't it fit right in line with that? And so God's will, despite their actions and the motivation behind their actions, God's will continues to be done. That's a huge lesson for us as well. God's will not be thwarted, right? Best for us to get on board with what he has planned.
Yep.
Right? Don't kick against the goads.
Get never on board kick with, against the goads.
Never should do that.
And right? Break feet.
And always check your motivation.
Always check your motivation. That's a good one. And where's the love, right? Where's the love in this family? Where's the love? There's no love between these.
I mean, Rachel just offered up her husband like a pimp.
Leah has to buy her own husband from Rachel. That kind of tells you the tight chains or what have you that she has on.
I mean,
yeah.
From Laban doing the switcheroo and all that. I mean,
it's started.
For some reason last night when we were watching the game, there was a phrase that reminded me of the phrase, the days of our lives, like a commercial. And so I chuckled, these were the days of our lives, and my kids didn't know what that was. I told them it was a soap opera.
What's that, Dad?
And doesn't this sound like a soap opera?
It is.
Like if you wrote this down and...
This
is bigger than a soap opera.
This is Kardashians.
This is reality TV.
But you know, we're kind of joking about that, but it's not a whole lot different than just our society right now, is it?
I agree.
We probably could, if we thought really hard, we could think of similar situations that we know about or we're close to. But all of the lessons, some that Ivan mentioned, you know, check your motivation. Where's the love? Follow God's will. God's will not be thwarted.
Don't
get
take
on
God's
board
will
with
your own hands.
Don't do God's will my way, right? Yeah. All of these things are part of the application I see here. Any closing thoughts?
Don't go looking for mandrakes.
We're going to pick up in verse 25 next week.
No matter how good it sounds, your wife's plan, don't do it.
It's a good place to end here with Joseph, because obviously we know Joseph is a very important person. In the Old Testament, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. And I think it's neat because we kind of know the story of Joseph. It's neat that despite all of this crazy family, that you can have some faithfulness come through.
Yeah, he kind of emerges. It takes him a while.
But, that's right. It does. There's still rivalry there, even
with
the brothers.
There's still rivalry there, and it takes some pretty drastic stuff to happen before he
emerges as matures.
Right.
But the rivalry from the parents it's going to go into the brothers.
Yeah.
Right. And they're going to have their own rivalry. And if you think about it, all of these brothers have different mamas. And so there's rivalry there.
You begin to wonder how many kids Rachel would have had if she would have called out to God first.
From the beginning. Instead of taking it into her own hands and gone the way of Hagar,
yeah.
Sarah and Hagar.
Could have been 6 and 6, you know?
Good point. And maybe more faithful kids
out
of that whole
thing. I mean, God has plan out for us in our lives. And, you know, I was told that we choose plan B, and I would say we even go even further and go, we accept plan C.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Right.
You know? So.
Renee, would you close this?
Absolutely. Lord God, have a loving and crazy plan.